morning. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, Hannah, for reading God's word. I take pleasure today introducing you our speaker today, Dr. Charles Harvey. Professor at Southeastern, he's a professor of Christian education, and he's a director of the DMEN program at Southeastern. Dr. Harvey, welcome.
Covered? Okay, good. Okay, we're going to make it. Thank you, Brother Don, and thank you, Hannah, for reading for us. As we look at the passage today, we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to begin with verse 3. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to share something with you as kind of an intro into it.
Listening to the news, and I heard the story about a young lady that was on Dancing with the Stars. Now, that's not one of my regular shows to watch, but I was intrigued by what I heard. And that was that this young lady did not have any legs below her knees, and yet she was in the dancing competition. I was amazed. This young lady had been a great athlete at one time, and then because of an illness had ended up losing her legs from the knees down. So I had to tune in and watch, and so when I turned it on to watch her perform, I saw a young lady that from the knees down, there was a very thin sheet of aluminum, a graphite, I'm not sure exactly what it was, and it was shaped almost like a backwards J. And there she was able to get out on the floor, and she was able to dance with her partner in such an eloquent way that it literally shocked me that she had overcome such a debilitating illness in losing her bottom part of her leg and was able to stand up in front of a national audience and to be able to do what she was doing with her partner.
As I read later, that she made it all the way to the end of the competition and was one of the top three that ended up for the playoffs and almost won the whole thing. I was amazed. Some of y'all probably saw her and saw the performance, and you just were shocked every time you watched her. She just seemed to gain strength, and when she would have a bad day, she would come back and do an outstanding performance the next time. As I thought about it, there were so many hard knocks that she faced in order to get to that point. And yet what she did was she was able to move beyond all of those disappointments and to become a conqueror, to become a victor, to become a winner in life, even though she had received a pretty hard knock. I have to ask you this. We have a lot of expectations in life, don't we? We expect things out of our friends. We expect things out of our parents. We expect things to take place in our world that we live in our community, or whatever it might be. And with all of those wonderful expectations, we find that life isn't always fair or even perfect. How do you respond when things don't seem fair? How do you respond when somebody really does something dirty to you and it really disappoints you? How do you respond when there is something that you expected that goes the other way and you're left with nothing but disappointment? How do you respond when you're knocked to the ground through the circumstances and experiences of life? To answer that question, we want to look at Joseph and his life. We find it in Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse 3. And as we look at Joseph's life, it becomes a biblical model for us to remember and to follow and to link to even a greater story that we're going to look at later on. But it provides us some help in how to deal with the hard knocks of life. Verses 3, we find that Joseph had great expectations. Let's read it just for a moment. Now Jacob loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him, only on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream. Now this is interesting. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brother said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us?" And so they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he still had another dream and related it to his brothers once again. He said, "Lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." He related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground?" It says that his brothers were very jealous of him, but it says that his father, Jacob, kept the saying in mind. When we read this, first of all, we find out that he was one of Jacob's favorite sons. So much so that he gave him that multicolored robe that he was able to wear that stood out from everyone else. What it tells me is that he grew up with a lot of affection and someone who cared very deeply for him and treated him in a special way. And then we find that he has these dreams, and these dreams are of these lofty places where others would worship him, including his family. We're not so much unlike that, are we? We find ourselves being treated right by our parents or by our friends in the church or wherever it might be. And we feel good about ourselves. And we also have dreams of what we want to become. Hannah is waiting this spring to find out where she's going to go to college. We hope it's UNC, right? Or maybe not. We'll see on that. But we have dreams. You have dreams, don't you? As I look out at the crowd today, I see young people, I see college students, I see those that are young adults, those that are parents who have dreams for their kids that are here right now. And so we have all of these wonderful expectations, just like Joseph had dreams. But Joseph went beyond that, and he experienced not only the dreams, but he saw those dreams torn away from him. He saw disappointment instead. He experienced disappointment from his brothers. We read a minute ago where it said that his brothers hated him. In verse 4, verse 8, and verse 9, in every situation, in every verse there, it says that his brothers hated him or were jealous of him. Wow. In fact, they hated him so much that we find in verses 12 through 28 in this passage where they took him and they threw him into a cistern or into a pit, as some might read, and he left them there, and then they ended up selling him to a group of Midianites that were passing through at that time. He was sold into slavery. So in the midst of all of that, he lost his home where he was loved dearly by his father. He was separated from his father, and he ended up, through this deal with the Midianites, he became a slave to Potiphar. And then later we find, as we read in this section of on Joseph in Genesis, we find that he became, not only did he become a slave to Potiphar, but he paid the price for a lie about himself that was given by Potiphar's life, and found himself in prison. And then he found in prison others used him and then forgot him, like the ones, the baker and the chief cupbearer. But Joseph learned something very important. In all of this disappointment, he learned what Jesus later taught us. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, murders, wickedness, and all evil things come from within and defile the man. What he began to understand is that there were those around him, even his loved ones, that would disappoint him and betray him at times. That's how evil works in our hearts. And it comes from those we least expect. But in the midst of his disappointments, we find that Joseph exhibited what we might call resilience. What we find is whether misunderstood and rejected by loved ones and family, whether hated and mistreated by others, even family, whether cast into a pit and later sold as a slave, whether thrown into prison unjustly, or whether used by another and then forgotten, in the midst of all of that, he could have stayed down and disappointed in life and bitter with all that had happened to him. And yet what we find is he came back. This is resilience. You understand what resilience is? It's like this rubber band that we have. In life, we are stretched out and stretched out and stretched out. It may be a little bit at times, and then other times it may stretch to it's almost broken. You've experienced times like that, haven't you? Where you've been stretched out because of the hard knocks. But here's what resilience does. In the midst of that pressure, inevitably, it comes back to its true nature, to its true size. And that is, so stress, resilience. Stress, resilience. That's what resilience is. And that's what we find in Joseph. With everything that hit him, we find that there was a resilient spirit, and he had came back. He had the ability to come back. He was became the overseer of the household of the chief captain for Pharaoh. And then we find that in the midst of prison, the scripture says that he was respected by those that were in prison with him. In fact, he came back in such a way that he became the commander of the economic and political affairs of Egypt under Pharaoh. He just kept coming back. He kept coming back and moving forward and making something out of something that was very sour in life. But in doing so and in coming back with that resilience, he did something else. He demonstrated integrity. We find in the story, as we read on through, we find that Potiphar, who he was a servant to, his wife tried to seduce him and then lied about him later. But when she tried to seduce him, he chose the right thing to do, regardless of what she wanted, regardless of what others were doing that was just like that. Servants in other households that were enjoying these indulgences. We find that what would have been the easiest thing to do is to follow Potiphar's wife in seduction. He chose the other way. We find that regardless of what would have served him best in the situation, in all of those things, he refused all of those things. And we find in doing that, that he demonstrated integrity. He did what was right, what he knew was right. Also, that resilience brought out something else. Joseph served with distinction. It says, as we look through the passages of Scripture that follow chapter 37, we find that he was faithful to his superiors, regardless of the circumstances. We find that his work prospered. It was mentioned over and over and over from chapter 37 to chapter 49. We find that it says that he continued to prosper. Everything he did, he prospered in those things. And no matter how many hard knocks, he came back and prospered in what he was given. His distinctive service led him to a trusted position in Potiphar's household. His trusted position led him on to Pharaoh's group to rule with Pharaoh. So we find all of these things, and then we find that Joseph responded with grace. At the very end, how would you have felt if your brothers had taken you and sold you into slavery? Would have gotten rid of you, would have sent you away. What if your brothers or sisters would have given you to someone to get out of their lives? There probably would have been a lot of hate, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness, resentment, all of those things. But what we find in this section of Scripture is that Joseph responded with grace. When there was famine in the land where Jacob, his father, lived, and they had nothing, he sent his sons, and they went to Egypt. They found where they were asking for help. They found Joseph. They didn't recognize him, as we know from the passage of Scripture, but what we understand is Joseph recognized them, and he saw them, and he had compassion on them, and what he did, he gave them what they needed. And we know the story that went on, but what we find, the main message there is that Joseph was able to deal with grace toward those who had hurt him deeply. Wow. Now that's resilience, isn't it? To respond with integrity, to respond with distinction in what you're doing, and to respond with grace. We find all of this in this section of Scripture. But what do we really see here when we look at the meaning of all of this? We find some very important truths here in the life of Joseph that began in chapter 37. One is this, listen carefully, trials and difficulties, no matter how hard they are, and no matter how debilitating they can become, trials and difficulties are God's opportunities for revealing His power and His providence. Wow, did you hear that? In other words, rather than looking at those things that happen to us and beginning to see it just from that standpoint, we get outside of ourselves and see this is an opportunity to show the power of God. This is an opportunity to reveal God in a very special way, rather than moping around in bitterness and resentment and hatred and anger. We take those opportunities and trials, and we show that they are opportunities to show God in our lives and what God can do in our lives. Another principle that we find here is this. Knowing God's purpose may be frustrated, but know His will, His purpose never fails. For you see that what took place in Joseph's life was part of God's providential care. It was His purpose. And we find that the story of the Israelites followed all the way into Egypt and then back into the Promised Land. And we find that continuing on all the way to the day of Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. It was part of God's providential plan. And it fit into it. And those brothers may have seemed like they had stopped that plan. Potiphar and his wife may have fit it in such a way that it seemed like God's purpose would be stopped. While the brother, all of them, seemed to stop that providential plan from taking place. But what we find is God worked in it in His providential way. And we find out of that is, listen carefully, folks, no matter what happens to us, no matter what goes on, God's plan never fails. And then the third thing that we find in this passage is a picture. Joseph's grace toward his family, toward his brothers, later on in this section of Scripture, is a model, is a picture of something that's far greater, and that is Jesus' grace, God's grace through Jesus toward us, that while we were yet sinners before God, He died on the cross for each one of us and for our sins, and He was raised from the grave to give us eternal life, to give us hope. Those are the messages that we find. Messages that, regardless of what happens, it should take us and buoy us up. It should pick us up. It should lift us up, regardless of the circumstances, to move forward in life. How do we respond based on the life of Joseph? Listen carefully. How will you respond when you don't get what you wanted? You ever been in that situation? How do you respond when you receive unfair treatment? How do you respond when you're victimized or criticized by your friends or others? How do you respond when you're placed in a no-win situation? How do you respond when you're fired from a job or let go? How do you respond when you fall into some difficult, or you fail in some difficult area of life? How do you respond when you're disappointed by others that you esteem and value in your life? How do you respond when you're blamed for something that's not your fault? How do you respond when you lose someone or something very dear to you? How do you respond when your dreams are vanquished away or destroyed? How do you respond when your heart goes south? How do you respond when there are major setbacks in your life? How do you respond when you are not liked by those you want liking you? How do you respond when you are hurt by those you trust and have done so much for? Folks, when life throws you that kind of curve, when life turns out in a way that you didn't expect, when something in your life is not what you meant it to be, what we have found in the story of Joseph is this. We are not to become bitter. We're not to become angry, vindictive, manipulative, retaliatory, resigned, depressed, mean, or even little. No, what we learn from Joseph is this. And from the truths that we know from this passage about God and what Jesus has done for us is this. We accept the reality of our disappointments. Things happen. We exhibit resilience. Whenever you're knocked down, when you may not get what you want, when you may not end up in the place you wanted to be, you make the very best of what you're dealt. Remember this. People and events, circumstances, people around you and the things that happen to you do not make you what you are. They only reveal what is inside of you. And if inside of you is the grace of God that you have experienced in your life, then that is what will be revealed. That's what should show through every circumstance, every difficult time in your life. And all of that, we move like that. And we shake off the dust and we move forward to be all that God wants us to do. We demonstrate integrity is another way that we respond. To do what is right in the name of the Lord, knowing that God honors those who honor Him. We do what is right, even though the easiest thing to do would be to do something else. What we do is we do what God expects. We don't take the road of least resistance. We take what God wants us to do. This means not to say what others say or expect. It means not to act like others. It means not to go along with the flow or with the group or with the gang. But what it means is to do and to do the right thing, following after only one, and that is our Lord. And then we're to serve with distinction. In the Scripture, in Romans, and in 1 Peter, and in different places, we're reminded that when we live our lives, we are do it in such a way that we show the glory of God through it. That's what we're about. It's not showing about how good or we are. It's not about demonstrating anything in our lives. But everything we do is to bring glory to God. And then finally, Joseph pointed out something that Jesus lived out to the fullest, and that is to respond with grace. Always respond with grace. That means leaving judgment and vengeance to the Lord. It means sharing the forgiveness you've received from God with others. It means avoiding haughtiness and self-promotion. And I could go on, one after the other. It means not returning wrong, understanding that wrong doesn't make it right. What it means is that the end never justifies the means. What it means is that in responding to grace, we are showing the example of Christ, and we are always to respond in that way. The grace that we've experienced from God through His Son Jesus is the same grace that we're to share to others. Let me give you an example. If we took a big cup here, Hannah, and I should have gotten you to do this, a big cup here, or a bowl or whatever, and we pour water into it all the way to the top, and we've got a full glass here. And then I ask you to come back and say, now pour more into it. What's going to happen when you try to pour that in? Aren't you glad I didn't get you to do that? On that, what's going to happen when you try to pour more water into it? What's going to happen? It's not going to go in, is it? It's going to go out. There's no room for it. Folks, listen to me. When your life is full of anger and bitterness and resentment and hurt and hatred, when it's full of all of those things, it's impossible to experience what is there for you, and that is the grace of God. You've got to let it go so that you can experience the full impact of God's grace in your life. That's the truth. That is the message that we hear. Elizabeth Elliot. Has anybody ever heard the story of Elizabeth Elliot, missionary? Some of y'all have. Elizabeth Elliot and her husband were missionaries in South America. And one day they were trying to reach a particular group of people. And it was a group that was known for killing whoever came around. And so they kept trying to reach them and touch their lives. And they would fly over and they would drop leaflets. They would do everything they could to try to set it up where that they could go into this very dangerous group of people and share the gospel. Finally, after a long period of time, Elizabeth's husband decided with two other missionaries that they would go and share the gospel with that group. They got all their supplies together, they put them on a boat, and they headed down the river toward this group of people. Elizabeth and the others never heard another word from them. Later, they found out that the group that they had gone to meet with had killed them before they even got onto land. As they stopped their boats and were beginning to get out, they immediately killed this group of missionaries. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Elizabeth, I'd have probably been so angry and so bitter. I'd have just turned around and gone the other way. That'd have been the smart thing to do, wouldn't it? That'd have been the easiest thing to do. But you know what Elizabeth did, folks? Elizabeth prayed about it, and later she went and shared the gospel with that group. And as she did, the leader who led the charge and killed her husband and the two other missionaries came to know the Lord through Elizabeth Elliot. And they became very dear friends. That's what you do with disappointments. You take God's grace and you let it fill your life, and then you pour it out to those around you, no matter who's disappointed you, no matter what has happened. For you see, what Hannah read earlier in Romans is true, that no matter what happens to you, no matter what difficulty comes your way, no matter how much disappointment happens because of friends or whatever it might be, it doesn't matter what, how dark, how terrible it is, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So, how are you going to respond today? How are you going to respond to these things? Will you respond like Joseph, with that type of resilience and grace? Or will you respond like Jesus, who is the more complete picture, that shows that while we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, He loved us so much that He gave Himself for all of us? Is that how we respond to these things? I ask you this, in all that you do, that you might be more than conquerors of these disappointments and letdowns through Him who loved us. Let's pray.